time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis, and we've been talking about a lot of things, about wars and the like, and the fact that the guys from Korea, like yourself, George, are thinning out quite a bit.
Thinning out real.
Oh. Remember World War One? I remember Spanish American. Those guys passing. There weren't that many of them. And then World War One guys. They were all gone. World War Two, not so many of them left. They're in their 90s now. And now we come to Korea. That's your...
I'm trying to think of the older guy that I know. He's still alive. I saw him at the grocery store here last week. Is it Shoemaker? No. I'm trying to think of his name. I'll think of it before we leave, because he was on the honor flight with me.
Oh, okay.
And he's 80, I think right now he's 89. He just turned 89. Because he was 88. No. We went on the honor flight. My time was, 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, I remember on Facebook, on the internet this morning, is a picture of Merle Ashy. And Merle's a World War II, and he's in his 90s. And Merle and I used to camp in Canada.
Oh, you did?
Yes, he cooked moose meat.
I saw Merle at the Primrose the other day.
Oh, is that right?
He lives at Primrose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got pictures of Merle cooking moose meat and pictures of him sleeping alongside our campfire.
Is that right?
Yes.
Cooking moose meat?
Yeah.
Who caught the moose?
The Canadians. The Canadians gave us moose meat. And they said, now when you fry this or cook it in your skillet, you either cover it or you don't. And if one way or the other, the sides will curl up.
The funniest book I've ever read was called Antlers in the Treetop by Who Goosed the Moose.
yeah. Oh, my. But now, hey, we were talking about Bob, what's his name from the IGA store?
Bob Smith.
Bob Smith, yeah. From, Bob Smith was a friend of everybody.
Oh, my.
He was the kindest man. And in his obituary, it would have taken 2 pages to cover everything.
His Navy suit is underneath him.
Okay.
He's
yes,
in his
yes.
Navy suit.
And it was him that supplied the first round of Spam to be fixed for Buckeye Chuck's breakfast.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Smith.
He provided that?
He was a legend, yeah.
He provided you with Spam.
Yeah, he sure did.
Well, he was right up there close
right
to WMRN.
Right up close, yeah. He's such a nice guy. Friendly. Wherever you saw him, he was so friendly.
Oh, we had many times together. He'd come to my restaurant, and then we'd walk over to Kiefer's and sit there in the front of Kiefer's store with his big desk and Kiefer's feet on there, and Bobby Smith and Dick Kiefer and I would talk for an hour about stories,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure. And Dick Kiefer was in the same room with me at the hospital, and of course he passed away. And
at 94.
Yeah, and Bob Smith has passed away now. So George, stay healthy, both of us.
Well, we got to stay healthy because our two buddies now, Bob Smith and Dick Kiefer, are gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
I hate to see those guys go.
Oh, I know. But it's just a matter of time. Everybody gets older, and there's only me.
You know, there's another guy and Marion that is in his, he's older than Kiefer and older than Bob Smith.
Really?
And he's still walking around talking Bob Ferguson.
Oh, really?
You remember Bob Ferguson?
Yes, I do, yes.
Bobby Ferguson. Oh, my God. He is a legend.
Isn't that something?
He's got to be 98.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Well, that's good.
I think Bobby Ferguson has got to be. Well, I know Norma Jacob is only 95.
Oh, Norma, yeah. Dean Jacob, her son.
Yeah, Dean goes over there this winter to shovel off her snow. And she, as he pulls up and he gets out of his car, she says, "Get out of here. I'm shoveling this snow at 95.
I'll see Dean yet today.
Yeah, you're going to see him Saturday.
Saturday. And today we go through an acquaintance thing at the palace.
Yeah, I know. You guys are going to be on the stage on Saturday.
To show
Saturday.
What's going on, yeah.
Yeah.
Or what will go on. Now, what I'm wondering, Mr. Clutter, he's a lot older than me.
You mean Kensel?
Kensel, World War II pilot. And Martha Dowse, she's been bedridden lately.
Oh, yeah, she's been in that presidential arms.
That's right, she's been in the same place I was. And, so they're...
You know, I grew up with Marty.
Yeah.
I call her Marty.
Yeah, right. But who else is in that group? Larry Gessler, and, of course, they're going to honor, George Brown.
And they're going to honor Judge Meyer.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Judge Meyer.
I remember him.
How many times was you in the barn?
Oh, yeah, right. And I remember, too.
I used to cater in that barn.
Yeah. When the story about the statue came about, he called me up. He listened to me every day. He heard the lady offer me $300 to repair Lady Justice if I could ever find her. And Judge Myers called me immediately after the program, said, "Evers, don't mention that statue again, because I'm sure whoever has it will destroy it, thinking you're after it." Well, that never happened. He knew very well who had it. And the person that had it was the president of the Historical Society, Dick West. And, of course, Dick Carey. Dick has made it known. He's written the whole story up about how it took place. And so it was nothing new.
They came to my bar that night.
Oh, my.
Him and Jerry came to my bar.
Yeah, really?
Jerry was with him.
Yeah.
And Jerry and Dick came in the bar, and they're going. And I said, what's with you guys? George, you won't believe what happened. I said, what happened? And they told me.
Yeah. Oh, here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, talking about Myers. Did you see his picture on the paper the other day? And the story they had on the front page of the Morning Star?
Really, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know if you've seen it or not.
Yeah, I did. I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, he was a good old guy.
Yeah, he was a good old guy, right.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob.
I didn't know if you, all right.
Thank you. Okay, Bob Austin.
Who was he talking about?
Judge Myers.
Oh, Judge Myers. Yeah, his picture was in.
I knew him. He used to live in Bucyrus at one time.
Yeah.
He's the story about him, though, he's been all over the place. He wasn't born in Bucyrus, but he lived there at one time. I remember when he was with Walter Moore. It was Moores and Myers.
Moore and Myers, the attorney firm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Walter Moore. I remember Walter.
Yes. Is Walter Moore dead now?
Oh, he's got to be. I don't think he's around.
They had an office. I think later on, Walter Moore had an office above Marion County Bank, seemed like, on the second floor.
There was a lot of attorneys and judges. The Marion Township trustees were up there.
Yeah.
All those three trustees.
Wasn't there a credit company up there, too, that, what was the name? A company that merchants depended on to find out if a person was good for credit.
Right. That was up there.
Yeah.
And so was Jack Bull, Ohio State Life.
Oh, okay.
Remember Jack?
Yes, yes.
He's over at Primrose.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Jack's at Primrose.
Know. He was on the board of directors for the Marion Cemetery. His mother was a doctor, Maud Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was a long time ago.
Everything. Jack and I are in the... Romeo's together.
Oh, okay.
The retired old man eating out.
Well, you know, I gave a talk the other day at Kingston, and a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Charlie, you should remember me. We played together when you lived on Spring Street in Bucyrus." And I looked at her. It was Judy Lohr. And we started talking about all the kids we knew, and it was just like going back in time all of a sudden. And she would have been my age, too, or close to it.
You were what then, teenagers?
Or? Yes, right.
Judy Moore?
Judy Lohr.
Oh, Lohr.
Yeah, and she remembered everybody that lived around our house, and it was quite a reunion there for a few minutes.
Brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, my land, yeah. You don't, and apparently her husband must be living there at Kingston. I don't know what her married name is, but... I tell you, very seldom do you ever find anyone still alive that can remember every detail about when you were just kids.
Yeah, when you go to Primrose, you've got Mary Ellen and Norm Withrow.
Yes.
You've got Merle Lashey.
Merle Lashey.
You got Jack Bull. You got a lot of older people over there.
That's right, yeah.
And I go over there to speak about history. And they all come and listen to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have so much
You've
fun.
You've got the history, that's for sure.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. Well.
Boy.
Well, you got Mary Ellen and Merle and Mary Ellen's husband, Norman. They're all older than me.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mary Ellen is going to be 88, 89.
At least.
Norman's already 90. He might be going towards 91.
Now, he was a golf pro, wasn't he?
Oh, one of the best.
Really?
One of the best golfers in Marion County.
Well, I never played golf, so I wasn't acquainted.
I didn't play that much. I caddied a lot.
Yeah. I remember in Bucyrus, a lot of kids my age became caddies.
Yeah.
But they had all kinds of initiations before you became a caddy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did that same thing. But guess what? Morrodell Golf Course was where the hospital is now.
Yeah, right.
Marion right. General Hospital. They built that there.
Named after Marion, Delaware.
Yeah. Marion General Hospital is there because that was Morrodell Golf Course.
Yes.
Nine holes.
Right.
I would caddy nine holes for, guess what, 25 cents.
Really?
They give me a quarter.
Oh. Yeah, that was a lot if you didn't have anything before that. Yeah.
Wow. I was.
But I remember at the Bucyrus Golf Course, they used to... You had to take your clothes off, they took them off and hung them in trees and threw you in the river.
What for?
Oh, initiation to be a caddy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'll never forget. And that was about the end of my caddying, that's for sure. I remember being thrown into a place in the Sandusky River called Cat Heaven, and I couldn't swim, and I managed to get out somehow, and I thought, that's enough for me.
Well, you're still here today, so you must have been.
I got my clothes back and lit for home. Oh, my land.
The only lake I ever got thrown in was McKinley Lake.
Oh, really?
And then these black things, bloodsuckers, were on my arm.
Oh,
and
the
my
leeches,
leg.
Yeah.
And I had to pull those off.
Yeah, I had
Once
them.
Once they get on your leg, you can't get them hardly.
I used to get them in the Sandusky River.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the leech. Oh, the bloodsucker. Well, anyhow, we're going to break here. We'll be right back for another 20-some minutes with George Kasotis.
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of Golden Grahams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known.
Ah.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with George Kasotis here, and we've got about 20-some minutes to go in our program today. And we're just kind of renewing memories of the past. And a lot of you are young enough that you can't remember anything we're talking about. George, I find that a lot.
I think most of the people listening to us are older. They're not younger. I don't know.
I wonder, yes.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah,
there
should be some
younger ones and older ones out there listening.
Yeah, maybe an older one would call us and say, yeah, I'm older. Oh, golly. But anyhow, just think of what we have today that we didn't have 5 years ago, like these smartphones and cell phones. We went from a cell phone, the tiny one, like you've got, to the big smartphone like I've got here, that you can find out anything that you want to know without going to college.
They've already called Suri so many times, and she's getting wore out.
One of these days, somebody call her, and she'll say, shut up. Can you imagine how many people, though, play jokes on her or ask her maybe some off-color questions and different things?
Right.
I can only imagine. Oh, boy. But anyhow, let me see. You mentioned, Dean...
Jacob.
Jacobs, yeah. I knew his mother about as well as I knew anyone.
Well, Norma and George came to... When they came from Pennsylvania, the first day they drove into Marion, they pulled up in front of the Crest Restaurant.
And I mean, they were from Pennsylvania.
They're from Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Erie, okay.
But Norma was raised out west in Kansas.
Oh.
Norma was raised out west.
Yeah.
And how she met George Jacobs, I know, but I can't remember
now,
right now.
George, what was his occupation?
George, he did insurance. I think insurance, because we used to go to Toledo. I drove to Toledo with him. And I would drive sometimes. I would drive most of the time. But George always smoked his Camel cigarettes and,
probably unfiltered.
Yeah, him and Al Mastro would drive me nuts.
Oh, Al, I can remember him.
I had Al in the car and I had George in the car and they're both smoking Camel cigarettes. Oh, my God.
My dad smoked unfiltered Camels.
Yeah.
And, of course, lung cancer roamed freely.
Oh, yes, it did. Oh, but anyway, man. George and I, we would go different places. And then the first apartment they got was in the Frontenac, which was behind the post office, which is now the Historical Society.
Okay.
That little apartment.
Oh, yeah. Yes, right.
It's still there, the Frontenac.
Right.
That was their first apartment.
Yeah.
And my sister and brother-in-law, when they got married in 58, that was their first apartment. Then came Ted Stolarczyk, married Mary Ann Michaels, and they lived there too. They lived there. And Gus Judy married Barbara Orr, and they lived there.
And Gus bought the building.
And Gus bought the building.
Yeah.
But anyway, that Frontenac apartment, which is right behind the old post office downtown,
it's called the
Historical Society now, yeah. They would have parties every weekend, and they'd call me, and I'd bring the food over.
Oh, really?
Oh, I cooked food and took it over to that apartment.
Wow.
And guess who lived upstairs?
No.
And he would always complain. Maury on Main.
Oh,
Maury's,
really?
The restaurant, Maury?
Yes.
He lived upstairs. He was a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And he said, you guys shut up down there. You're making too much noise.
Oh, my. Yeah, Maury's.
And we'd be there 2 o'clock in the morning or, you know, they'd be up all night long.
The old Maury's is empty now, isn't it?
Well, Bobby Petrovsky bought it, and he remodeled it. It's beautiful in there.
And then it became Trays.
And then the Trays couldn't make it.
No.
She was from Bluffton. She has a restaurant in Bluffton over Bluffton College.
Okay.
That's where Joanne went to college.
Yeah, that's right.
Bluffton.
Yeah.
But that lady, she was getting Marion people over there at her restaurant, and they said, come to Marion. So Bobby Petrovsky, who bought Maury's, went in there, new restrooms, new kitchen, new ceilings, new floors. He did everything. New front. He even tore up the whole place and rebuilt it.
Because
Bobby, you don't know Bobby Petrovsky.
No.
He's a beautiful guy. He rebuilt that. But she couldn't last. Now that beautiful place is sitting there empty.
Absolutely empty.
Well, it's gorgeous inside.
I remember. I was in there only once. when it was Trey's.
But Maury's became famous in Marion. Maury's on Main.
Maury's on Main, yeah.
Bobby Baker bought it, too. Huh. Bobby and Anita Baker bought it for quite a few years.
You remember across the alley was the the infamous place that I worked one night as the ugly bartender.
Where was that?
Oh, right next to, across from Maury's. Same side, across the alley. Remember it burned down?
Oh, you mean that... the guys that bought it, come on, was...
It had a real reputation.
I know.
And so I...
You were the ugly bartender?
Yes. I volunteered when they, you know, I was working WDIF at the time. Oh, here's a phone call. Yes, caller, go ahead.
You're talking about Portofino's.
Yes, you're right, yes.
Right, I meet your mom that when it burned down.
Okay, all right, Portofino. Yep.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyhow, I'm in there. I you know, they asked us, where would you like, and they named off all the bars and everything, and I chose Portofino because I thought that'd be the most interesting. Well, it turned out it was. I'll never forget working behind the bar there, and a lady came in once. And she in front of me exposed herself.
Oh, she did? Lifted her skirt up?
No, not her skirt, but her sweater.
Oh, her sweater.
Oh, my. I thought, well, this is what I asked for, I guess. Well, I'll never forget that, George.
You got it right in your face, didn't
yes,
you?
I did. Oh, I can't remember where... how much money was made that night.
I remember the two guys that opened that. Kurt Price was one of them.
Yeah.
And then he went down after they sold that building to a guy that, oh, God, what did he call it? He was a wrestler or boxer.
Oh, yeah, they had that boxing place there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I know him, too, but I can't say his name. But that, Kurt.
Yeah.
Kurt and... what's the other guy's name? Oh, my God.
Well, upstairs, was there an artist up there?
Yeah, artist. They had the boxing ring, yeah. And they had all that stuff in there after Kurt left and went down to the depth. What's the one down at the Shovel?
Yeah.
Kurt opened up the Shovel.
Oh, really? The Shovel Lounge?
It was empty, yeah. And it was a restaurant, but Kurt bought that building, and Kurt Price was there for years. But it's closed now.
Is it closed?
Oh, yeah. It's called the Shovel.
Shovel Lounge, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. Kurt got out of the business. He had some some health problems.
Yeah.
And he left. But, oh, my God. All those places. You know, at one time, Charlie, every place downtown was full of businesses,
yeah.
Bars and shoe stores.
That was
and
when
clothing.
The Shovel was in operation.
Oh, the Shovel, yeah.
Yeah, and the Shovel, General Excavator, and all those other big, heavy industrial places.
Well, we had four steel plants: Pollock Steel, Alloyed Cast Steel. We had
American Malleable.
American. We had a lot of steel plants.
Yeah.
I told you once before, that was years ago, that Pollock Steel, David and his wife come in my restaurant, and I said, David, it's good to see you. And his wife said, my husband's name is David.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm sorry. David, how are you doing? And I took him to a table, you
yeah.
know, and they sit down and ordered, and I fed him. And, oh, my goodness.
But I remember, too, one of the Marion policemen told me, when the Shovel closed... Friday nights became a little more sane in downtown Marion because the Shovel guys were cashing their paychecks at bars.
Many of them. And you know where the busiest, well, I was, Kagan Vine was busy, but one of the busiest bars ever in downtown Marion was the Ritz Bar.
Oh, the Ritz, yeah.
The Ritz
yeah.
Bar and Grill.
Right.
Beanie Nicolosi, Mike's
okay.
dad.
Yeah.
Mike Nicholas.
Oh, that was Mike's dad, huh?
Yeah, it was okay. Mike. Beanie. Oh,
yeah.
Beanie was crazy. I mean, he was... He did everything.
Nicolosi's meant a lot to Marion.
Huh?
Nicolosi's meant a lot to Marion, really.
Oh, wow.
What other Italian family? Of course, there's the one now that... Sansoda. Nicholas. Oh, yeah, Little
Joe.
Sodas.
Well, yeah. That's Little Joe. His dad and I grew up together.
Yeah, right.
But and, before that, there was the, come on, the big family, the Morbit.
Morbit. Oh, yeah.
Charlie Morbit was our parks director.
Right, and Charlie and I were the first ones to go down his big hill on a toboggan.
And it's still there. And yeah, there's all kinds of trees on that hill
that's
now.
That's right, yeah. Dodge the trees.
Charlie Morbit, that's a name from out of the past.
Oh, my, yes. He did such a great job. He took a lot of the curbs and gutters that they took out when they widened Prospect Street.
His brother, Ross, had a bar up on North Main Street called the City Limits.
Okay.
You don't remember the City Limits?
I remember the name, Ross.
It was just beyond the root beer stand.
Okay.
And it was called the City Limits. And that was Ross Nicolosi.
Ah, okay.
Ross Morbit.
Yeah, okay.
So and then Ross had a son, and he opened up where that drugstore is now, where Washington crosses the Delaware.
Oh, yeah, right. Marion Pastry used to be there.
Well, yeah, the Marion Pastry Shop was on Washington crossing the
Here's another call. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, you talking about bars. Do you remember Bodley's?
What's the name you mentioned?
Bodley's.
Oh, Bodley's, yes. Bodley's Barbecue. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Bodley's was a bar, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of bars there at one time.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, there sure were.
Yeah, and now all you got to do is to walk in and they want to fight.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. That's all they want to do is fight.
Oh,
you can't
my.
Learn to enjoy yourself no, anymore.
The fightingest bar in Marion was on North Main Street.
They're North Main. That's there around where Cardinals was, and that's where the sword shed. I think it was that area up there.
Okay. Well, very good, Bob. Thanks.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, Friday nights or something else after pay.
The
guys cashed their paychecks. Not all of them cashed at the bar, but a lot of them did. Then they, and the policeman told me, then they got kind of lit up, went home and raised Cain, got into domestic fights. And so now that atmosphere is all gone. Of course, the bars are all gone.
From Center and Main, where the old National City Bank was, north of that was the Faye Bank, and then beyond that,
Whitey's.
In there was like three bars, and oh my God, the lady that was go into all the bars, and she was like a bouncer.
Really,
her name was Malzina.
Well, that's interesting.
And one time, this policeman walks in, and she threw him out, picked him up, and threw him out the front door.
Really? The phone's ringing. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, it was Acme, the Brunswick, and I can't remember the other. I don't think. But they're together on Main Street. Down on the corner, Main and Mill was the Main Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's the Elbow Room.
Okay. You must have known all those bars, Bobby. You must have went in all those bars.
Well, upstairs was the Green Room.
Okay, the Green Room. Yeah, I remember all those bars.
And then you had, Ivan had the alley there.
You're talking about Ivan Friedman.
Right.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, here we go. We're back once again, George Kasotis. A lot of history, George. the bar history of America. Boy, wouldn't that be something to write a book about that?
after the Portofino and all those, the only couple other bars left downtown, I was the only one that had a bar on the South Main Street. I had the Keg and Vine.
Right.
And but the North Main Street had all 8 or 10 bars there.
Is Whitey's still there?
Whitey's. Yeah, Whitey's is still
Peggy
there.
Bank, yeah.
Yeah, Whitey's is still there.
Okay. Is that's there any other bars up that way?
No. That's the only bar.
Yeah. How times have changed.
Oh, wow, have they changed.
Yeah. Probably for the better. if the guys that drank so much got a little violent at home, especially.
Well, Whitey's is an old, I think it's a, there might be some young guys that go in there, but mostly old guys.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it probably isn't the style for the younger guys. Maybe they like more of the classier places. I don't know. I hardly go to any.
Oh, yeah. There's one out east. No, wait. Yeah, out east. Oh, I'm trying to think of that one.
Well, there's the OK Cafe. That's east.
That's what's his name's bar now. Yeah, the WMR.
Scott Schauber.
Yeah, Scott.
And that, the Terry, and not Terry, but Tackett.
Is it Tackett?
I think Schauber and Tackett, I think. I can't say for sure.
But, yeah, they're the owners, but they've changed that place too.
Yes, that's right.
It's nice. I mean, we've been there a couple of times, and it's nice.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah, yeah.
Really nice
for a bar. I would say you know, you could take your family in and not have to worry.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice.
Now, when I was young, I grew up in a bar more or less. The Worm family in Bucyrus, of course, we were very close because they had so many kids. And we went to school together, and I spent most of my off hours at Worm's restaurant or bar. Not drinking, but playing shuffleboard, for one thing. Does anyone have shuffleboards anymore?
I haven't seen one.
Yeah.
Joanne and I stopped at, I haven't been there in a couple of years since the Mastros sold it. Was Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And it was pretty
Did
nice.
Did they sell that, huh?
I think they sold it.
Yeah.
I don't know who owns it. I don't know who bought it.
Yeah, that's right. That seems to be a popular drinking and eating place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, they've got so many television sets and
oh,
sports.
They must have 50 to 75 TV sets in there.
Can you imagine how much that costs?
Oh, woo! My wow. God. Their electric bill has got to be heavy.
Oh, I can imagine. Boy, oh boy.
Well, I knew Mike was in charge of it, Mike Mastro. And Louie was at, what's the restaurant?
Perkins.
Perkins, oh yeah. Perkins is the best breakfast place in Marion. Yeah.
And then the one that married Mike's sister, what's his name? Was it Terry?
He's
in Columbus now with a pizza shop.
No, they're right there at the where the Blue Jackets were, arena
district.
Yeah,
down in Columbus.
Yeah, arena district.
Right, right.
It's called Boston Market? Boston?
Is that what it is?
I think it's Boston Market.
So that's Mike Mastro's sister's husband, Terry Emery.
Terry Emery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sister.
Right.
Two of them weren't born.
Okay,
Only Mike was born when Madeline and Al Mastro came to Marion from Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Same place that the Jacobs came from, pretty sure.
Yeah.
Mastro's came to Marion because she had an uncle down on West Center Street that had a bar. And you'll never guess what that bar's name is, and it's still there.
Oh, really?
It's called The Stag.
Oh, no.
You remember that name?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
The Stag
familiar.
Bar. Yeah. Well, Madeline Mastro's uncle owned that bar, and she came to visit her uncle, and they happened to pull up in front of my restaurant, and guess when they walked in? She walked in with this baby, and it was little baby Mike.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, now, let's see there. Mike's brother's name.
Louie.
Louie, okay. Mike, Louie, and his sister, I can't remember her first name.
I know it.
The three Mastro kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Louie and the daughter weren't born yet.
Okay.
Mike was the oldest. He was just a baby. In fact, she had him in her arms, and it's just like Norma and George, guess what? Their baby was born here, and it was Dean.
Okay, all right.
And George and Norma were close to me, yeah. And I held Dean when he was a baby.
Oh, I remember.
And he looks at me every time we get together.
I can imagine.
He says, George, don't tell anybody that you held me as a baby.
I'll mention that when I see him today.
Oh, yeah. He said, did George hold you as a baby? He'll say, yeah.
And, Norma. I can remember her as a city councilwoman.
Oh, she was. You know who she was the campaign manager for?
No.
Mike DeSalle.
Oh, really?
Mike DeSalle.
Mike DeSalle used to be the Office of Price Administration.
He was ran for governor. He was the governor of Ohio.
Right. Yeah. It, and she sounded like a politician. Norma talked like a politician.
Oh, she was. Yeah. She was. Yeah. She was Mike DeSalle's campaign manager.
Well, for
Central Ohio.
Okay. The last time I talked to Norma, she got me to escort a new priest from St. Mary's around Marion to show him what all was in Marion.
When you were with the
that was
Visitors and Convention Bureau?
I might have been there at that time.
Yeah, you were with the visitor. Yeah, I remember that.
But I took him all over Marion, showed him everything going on in Marion. I can't remember which priest it was.
You know, when you left Visitors and Convention, I was there, and I had...
Bus tours.
I did bus tours.
Yeah.
People would come in from Michigan, from Pennsylvania, and put them on a bus, and they said, George, you take them around. You know what they used to call me? The step-on guide.
Yes.
And I didn't like that. I said, step-on guide? I'm not a step-on
guide.
That's
right. That's what we were known as, step-on guides.
Why? I don't get it.
Well, you stepped on the bus.
Forget it. I like to be a...
You know what? I used to be, when I worked at WDIF, I conducted tours of the United States by bus.
Did you?
And at one time, I had two buses. One was from Seattle, Washington, and one was from Marionites. And I had to spend time with both of them. And the Seattle, Washington bus, the ladies told me, said, Mister, would you stay with us longer? We're having all kinds of problems here among us ladies, arguments. Maybe you can settle it. I'll never forget that. But we went all through Canada and down along the coast. Oh, my land.
Every time a bus load of... especially ladies would come. I'd take them. Well, I did. I fed them. I first started out, the Visitors and Convention Bureau called me and said, George, we're bringing a busload over to your restaurant and feed them. So I fed them and then poured them a little taste of wine.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And they got on the bus and they said, George, Cafe George, we're going to come back to Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
You know. So then when I became a step-on guide or a guide... What was the other name we used for the bus, the guide? Anyway, I would take him out to the winery.
Shamrock.
Shamrock Vineyards.
I conducted tours of Shamrock, yeah.
And they loved that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard
them
doing it.
They always went away with a lot of bottles of wine.
I know. They would buy that Buckeye Red.
Buckeye Red was the most popular, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was. And I'll tell you what. I don't know if they do tours anymore.
I don't know either. I really don't. But that used to be the big thing, and that was part of our job, was to bring more buses to Marion with people aboard that would buy...
No, stop and buy things.
Yeah,
from they go over to Coffee House on Church
the money,
Prospect.
Yeah. See, I used to have a tourism business myself over in Lucas, Ohio, and I had probably the most popular tourist area. A country store, and I had bus tours from all over, everywhere. And one time I had 10 buses come down from Cleveland for their annual bus tour and to my place. I'll never forget that. But each bus was worth about $400 in sales
at
that time.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of carried you over the rough places.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
I remember when I would take bus tours all over, we'd go over the overpasses and I'd explain what's the schools up at State Street School, you know, when it was what was it, the State Street School was up there where Joanne taught, and Ted Stolarczyk was the principal.
Taft.
And
my daughter, Kathy, went to Taft. And, oh boy, there's been so much in the past, George.
I know, but I don't know if they do those bus tours anymore.
I don't either.
I haven't seen any or heard anything.
But I used to go all over the country promoting Marion and talking to bus owner tour operators. Now, the one I talked to, I'll never forget, Bieber, up in Kutztown, Pennsylvania, and they were the most popular bus organization. I just saw where they went out of business. They went bankrupt. And a bus company called Klein Buses out of another town, I knew them too, they took over that route. They go to Washington and Philadelphia day after day. And
do you remember a guy named Tom took over the Visitors and Convention
Tom Bureau? Robertson, yeah.
Tom.
Yeah, I replaced him.
He, huh? Yeah, you replaced him?
Right.
Tom had me cater to a group of other convention and visitors bureaus around from Indiana, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And guess where he had me cater them?
No.
In the Harding home.
Really?
In the front room.
No kidding.
He wanted everything first class.
Wow.
He wanted crystal,
yeah,
silverware, crystal and everything. And I catered a buffet. And these tour operators, they said, we're going to start bringing a lot of buses over to Marion because we want to see the Harding home.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they should do when this new Harding Museum starts, they ought to start bringing buses back to Marion.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that develops, yeah.
Oh, that is going to develop.
You know, Tom, before he came to Marion, was the Convention and Visitors Bureau director down at where they sell or made the baskets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he had like 400 buses a year.
Newark.
Yeah, well, just east of Newark, yeah. He had 400 and some buses a year. And I thought, man, if that guy can bring in 400 buses a year, we need him.
Oh, well, Tom was here. He
but
did.
We don't make baskets here.
But I remember catering at the Harding home. Everything was, I had a front room table. And lace on the table, and instead of a tablecloth, we had lace tablecloths.
Wow,
yeah. I had silver, and I had crystal glasses for drinks. Oh, that was amazing.
That was a high class, yeah.
I got pictures of that, but it's memories, you know. They're only memories now.
That was back in 19. I took over in 1996. So that would have been 94, 95.
Yeah, 93, yeah, 94, yeah, 95.
Right. Hey, we're almost at the end of the program today.
Charlie, it's always good to be with you.
Well, good to have you, George. We talked about a lot of history.
Oh, yeah, well, yes,
Ooh,
we did.
Wow.
And Scott's in there recording all this. So
yeah, so you
God
can hear
bless
it again.
You, Scott. It's good to be here. And we'll always, as long as Charlie's here, I'm going to be here.
Yeah, that's right. That is for sure. And if you wake up at 3 in the morning, tune us in. You may hear this all over again.
That's right, because it's on all night long.
That's
at
right.
WWGH.
24 hours a day.
107.1.
Yeah, 107. And you can also get us on your smartphone anytime, anywhere in the world on
anywhere.
Your smartphone.
Yeah. If you're on vacation, check us out.
That's right. Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, that's the end of the program for today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a... you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. because that's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still